Thursday. Thanks for being with us on Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. Peter King's going to be with us in about 15 minutes on... I never thought I'd be talking about deflated footballs with Peter King. But sometimes, you know, the world of sports is a wacky, crazy game. I think that half of you probably think that Bill Belichick cheated and you hate the Patriots. You can't stand them. And you think that there's air taken out of the football. I think the other half is probably saying something along the lines of, they won 45-7. I don't think that the deflated footballs have anything to do with anything. But nonetheless, if there's something there, I want to talk to Peter about what is the league going to do? Do they need to handle this quicker than they did Ray Rice? You know, are we going to sit here next week and be talking about deflated football gate when they're all here? This Tiger Woods story took an interesting spin today. We'll get into that. Is he really telling the truth on how he lost his tooth? There's a snowmobile involved in this. Who doesn't love snowmobiles and Tiger Woods? Come on. And the Suns winning last night. I had a very good MLK day. I took some time, went for my usual jaunt and thought about the day and the meaning of the day. And then I went about my day and went and saw American Sniper. Man, that was good. Oh, my gosh. If you've not seen it, guys, even my wife was crying. And the whole theater was packed. Middle of the day, packed to see this movie. And I know there's guys like Michael Moore come along and they just want you to talk about them. They just want to be trending so badly that they're going to say anything. And usually we sit behind microphones and TVs and we start to acknowledge them. The worst thing that you can do, the way that you make them hurt the most is you just don't even pay attention to these types of guys. That's it. They can scream all they want. If you scream the loudest, you know, so it was very, very, very well done. Eric Sorensen is here today. We actually have an intern with us now. This is our first intern that we've had. So I know that we're getting bigger and better.
And right? You just talked about Michael Moore after saying that you wouldn't talk about him. But you did.
I acknowledged him briefly.
You fell right into his trap.
Briefly. I didn't do show after show and hour after hour on the whole thing.
Yeah.
But
good movie, though, right?
Oh, my gosh.
I've heard
you haven't
things.
Seen it yet?
Not yet. This weekend. It's on the agenda.
Take her. She'll cry.
It's on the
you
agenda.
You might.
So.
I don't know. Are you a crier at movies?
No. I'm not a crier really at all.
No, I would disagree with that. I've seen you cry.
Yeah, I don't cry very much,
Yeah, I've
though.
Seen it. I've seen it.
How long have I known you? 20-some-odd years? Of course.
You might let loose on this one. You
Maybe.
Might. You might. It was very good.
Maybe. Yeah, we have an intern. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, Nick's here. So. Yeah.
Welcome, Nick.
Jared Nielsen's here, so the gang, almost all the gang is here today. If something drops on this building, it's over. The whole thing's done.
4/5 of our staff
That's
is here.
That's it. Well, there's a few more, but let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino is just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Honda Resort and Casino, you know it. The big game is coming up. Less than 2 weeks away at the Honda Resort and Casino. What a great place to go check out the big game, pull down on those slots, eat some great food, have some fun, stay at the Honda Resort and Casino and get away from it all. Get up to the White Mountains and over to the Sunrise Ski Resort. I was just there a couple weeks ago. Went and saw some snowboarding over at the ski resort. Had a great time at the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. They've been a part of Sports 360 AZ since day number one. Head on over to Sunrise and check things out and stay at the Honda Resort and Casino.
You're referencing the big game. You must mean the Pro Bowl this weekend, right?
Are you going to that?
What do you think?
Are you even going to... You know how it is.
I ever watched one of those?
I know. In the NFL,
I'll be on social media saying, God, this is the most ridiculous thing. Please get rid of this game. You could just go back on my timeline for the last 4 years.
And most other
where
people.
I'm saying the exact same thing. And no, I'm not going to spend $150 for a ticket. I'm not going to watch it on TV. I don't care. The players don't care. They don't want to be there. So, no, I don't care. And sorry, I have a bad attitude today, but I hate
wow.
the Pro Bowl.
Wow, geez.
I just hate the Pro Bowl.
But you know that there's going to be those people that want to make sure that you know that a million people watched it.
Of course. Oh, yeah. We'll get those emails about record-breaking TV numbers.
Yeah.
Guess what? There's nothing else on TV.
We don't care.
We
don't care. It's like the people that say, did you see the wreck this morning on the 101? No, there's always a wreck on the 101. Every year there's a Pro Bowl. I don't care.
Usually a couple wrecks on the 101.
Oh, yeah. NBC is going to live stream the Super Bowl. And I bring it up, and I wasn't going to lead with this, but I saw the story earlier this morning. I don't know, are we getting to a point where I have to go to a Super Bowl party or I have to be at the game? No, because in this day and age of DVR, you can just watch it when you want to watch it. But is there enough demand for people to be out on their phones out fishing or out skiing to just kind of check out the Super Bowl? Is that what it's coming to now? For NBC to announce this less than 2 weeks before the game, I think is very interesting from a business standpoint. I really do. We'll talk with Peter King about deflated footballs and some other stuff here in a couple of minutes. The Suns game last night, I'll start with the local stuff and then go over to Tiger, because Tiger does impact what's going on here locally next week, and I think you can draw the two together. Watching the Suns play, Brandon Wright's pretty good, Eric. I kind of like watching him play on the inside. I don't know if I'm going to go as far as all the inside the NBA guys are saying that he's a difference maker. I still don't think that they're that close. But and the Lakers are awful. If you were to go through the lineup of the Lakers, who they rolled out last night out on the floor, you know, Kobe didn't even bother to show up in Phoenix. It wasn't like he didn't play. It's just he didn't even bother to show up. And so I'm watching the game last night. I'm thinking, are the Suns going to beat the Lakers? They've won 8 straight games now against the Lakers here in Phoenix. There was a time where the Lakers would roll in here and it would be no contest. The Lakers would hammer them every time. But last night, I don't know, they started Ed Davis, who they supposedly like a lot. They started Wesley Johnson, who couldn't make it here and couldn't even get on the floor when he was with the Suns. They started Jordan Hill, who was a nice player at U of A, but he was nothing special. Jeremy Lin, it's fine. They started Wayne Ellington, not Duke Ellington, Wayne Ellington. They brought off the bench Tariq Black. They brought off the bench Jordan Clarkson. Not Kelly Clarkson, Jordan Clarkson.
Sad.
They had Ryan Kelly come off the bench.
Really sad.
Okay, so when they get all excited about Nick Young because he has a cool little nickname, Swaggy P, and that's it? And Carlos Boozer, it's like Carlos Boozer's still bumping around the league?
The Lakers were the typical NBA team last night. Oh. Like, they just played in stretches, and then for the last four and a half minutes when the game was out of hand, the Lakers just completely just packed up and went home. There was just no effort in the last 4 minutes last night.
No, it was over with. And Kobe didn't even bother to make the trip. So, look, I mean, the Suns have won 13 of their last 16. We have the Super Bowl here, so very few people are even acknowledging the Suns' existence. But I will tell you that right on the inside, and Alex Len's becoming a good player. I think if they were to find a way to move both Morrises out of here, I'm done with both Morrises. They're nice players. I thought it was interesting last night. There was an exchange between the guy doing the play-by-play on TNT and Reggie Miller, something along the lines of, is Markieff Morris an all-star player? And Reggie Miller was like, well, he's a nice player on a team that, you know, gives you a role. Like, are you kidding me? Who's giving you this nonsense that he's an all-star? So, you know, I'm watching them last night, and I look at their lineup, and they've got to move one of these guards. Isaiah Thomas at 24, but I don't think Isaiah Thomas brings you a whole lot. The guy that's going to bring you a lot is Dragic. Dragic is going to bring you a lot because his contract expires at the end of this year. Go find a team that stinks. And if you're going to trade somebody, that's the guy that's going to bring you a big haul. That said, I'm not saying from my view to go trade him. I'm just saying the obvious guy to me in order to get a difference maker or two would probably be Dragic to a bad team that has a star player or an emerging star player that you look at and say, bring him here and he'll be fine. Miles Plumlee, they want to get him out of here. He didn't look very good to me last night. And he hadn't played very well at all. But look, Gerald Green's going to be a free agent this year. If you took guys like Dragic and Green, do you weaken your roster? Yeah, I think you do. But if you think Dragic is going to get a max contract from the Knicks, as has been reported out there, because it's the Knicks, and the Knicks always stink, and the Knicks want to find a way to overpay on somebody, then maybe you're the one that says, you know what, we need to move him now, and we can find a star player. So, you know, it was a nice win for them. The Cardinals are interested in Mike Nolan for the defensive coordinator spot. That's fine. It's fine. We'll talk to Peter about that. But the big story is Tiger. How do you not love this story? Actually, golf has gone mad. Have you seen the Robert Allenby story?
I have. It's crazy.
So you have Tiger Woods, who now this tooth that was knocked out supposedly by a camera, the organizers of the race are saying, I don't know about this. Nicola Colli, the secretary general of the race organizing committee. So Tiger flew to Italy to see Lindsey Vonn do her deal, the 63rd World Cup race. She gets a record for winning again. But everybody's talking about this missing tooth of Tiger's. And Tiger's people said he got tooth knocked out, camera backed into him, and he got his tooth knocked out. The guy that put the race on said, no, I was among those who escorted him. This is a race organizer. Quote, I was among those who escorted him from the tent to the snowmobile. Tiger requested a snowmobile and extra security. Of course he did. And there was no such incident. This according to the race organizing committee guy. When he arrived, he asked for more security. We rounded up police to look after both him and Lindsey. Woods had been wearing a scarf with a skeleton pattern over the lower part of his face, sunglasses, and a stocking cap. The photo was taken when the scarf was lowered. So he showed up with Lindsey's dad and hugged Lindsey after she won, had this scarf on. Then he lowers the scarf, and that's when people said, oh, he's missing his tooth. And his people said, well, somebody had the camera backed into him and knocked it out. Now, I don't know. What happened the last time they were told something happened with Tiger involving Elon and the car and the fire hydrant and the nine iron? All I know is, and there's a picture that's circling around on the internet today that shows Tiger's smile that's got the tooth and it's a little bit less than bright white. Look, grassy knoll or not, here's the thing. He's here next week unless he pulls out of Phoenix because he has a damaged tooth. I don't know. Is this the front end of something else? Did anybody knock him?
He tried so hard to live this private life.
Sure.
And when the curtain was pulled back on his finger quote private life, we had 6 months of TMZ, ESPN, everybody chasing what really happened. You know, all the conspiracy theorists.
That's what's happening right now.
And just, you know what?
It's a tooth.
You're what does it say? They say that you're represent, you're, never mind. I can't
yeah,
talk.
Yeah,
you know where I'm going.
I know where you're going with this.
Your reputation precedes you. Thank you.
So imagine that next week, Tiger's supposed to be here a week from now. Imagine what the scene is going to be like next week. When he walks up to the number one tee box to tee off and he's standing there talking, the number of cameras that are going to be there, or if he in fact holds a press conference before he tees off, and you would imagine that he would, it's going to be his first event of the year where he has to walk in, and I hope it's not in this dark little dingy dungeon that they have over there at TPC Scottsdale. They have some nice big rooms. The amount of media that's going to be in town anyways for Super Bowl, national people are going to be pulled off Super Bowl on next week and told, go, you have to go get Tiger now. And we're going to see the ease and we're going to see the Access Hollywood. We're going to see all of the people that have nothing at all to do with sports. It's going to be terrific because they're going to be the ones that will ask questions. You'll be like, you got to be kidding me. You just didn't ask that. You know, what are you wearing today, Tiger? Is it Versace? Something like that. Who did your dental work? All of that stuff's going to be coming down. But between Tiger's story and Robert Allenby saying he was kidnapped and robbed at a wine bar in Waikiki, we got a couple golfers gone crazy here. This is great. I didn't even get into the Pro-Am, and I'll get into that a little bit later. Boy, is it loaded. Peter King is next. Always good to catch up with Peter King, SI.com, NFL Insider, MMQB Editor-in-Chief, the best in the business. Peter King joins me every week. That's next. I'm Brad Sussman.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360AZ.
Peter King joins us now, SI.com, NFL Insider, MMQB Editor-in-Chief. He will be the pool reporter among his many duties next week here in the Valley with the Seahawks. That has not changed, right, Peter?
No, that's going to happen, Brad. They'll be practicing Wednesday,
Thursday, Friday afternoon, and I think Saturday late morning at Arizona State. They'll be the team at Arizona State, and the Patriots will be out at the Cardinals.
All right, so how do you – this is a question that was asked of me last week after our segment where people were sending me notes. Is Peter going to try to interview Marshawn Lynch as pool reporter? That's not part of your thing, or will it be?
Well, basically, here's what the pool reporter does. Pool reporter just simply watches practice. And then at the end of each practice, gets 3 to 5 minutes with the head coach to say, how'd the practice go today? Pool reporter doesn't speak to any player. I mean, look, I've been doing this a long time, and I shoot the breeze with a player or two or three, but not for quotation. And honestly, in this particular case, I wouldn't even, because I would never attempt to sort of, you know, kind of put myself in a place where the team definitely wouldn't want me to be.
Right.
You're basically out of these practices to be a fly on the wall to make sure that John Doe doesn't break his leg and there isn't some real serious injury. It's almost like being in the presidential pool where even if Barack Obama's golfing in Hawaii, there's got to be somebody out there covering it.
Sure, sure. And so that's a no that you would talk with him unless he wandered over to you, which is not going to happen, right? Afterwards?
No, it wouldn't, because he's not the kind of guy who normally would do that. Last year, I remember I've done this now 9 times, and last year I did it, and I did the NFC team again, and Lynch one day came out wearing Breno Giacomini's jersey. That was the right tackle, and Giacomini came out wearing his jersey, and so, you know, that's one of the sort of, I don't know, Pete Carroll runs a loose ship at practice. Now, they practice hard. I'll say that. I told him last year after the first day, I said, you know, I've done quite a few of these, and this is the hardest Wednesday practice I saw. You practice like it's a game. And he was really happy when I said that. Just really happy, because he said, yeah, that's, even though it's Super Bowl week, we still want our players to practice like it's a regular season game week.
Peter King, brought to you by Ameriprise Financial. Ask Ameriprise Financial Advisor Jeremy Kitamura about the new Confident Retirement Approach. Call Jeremy today to review all your wealth planning needs. Jeremy's office is in Scottsdale, Arizona. He can be reached at 480-922-4216, 480-922-4216, Ameriprise Financial. So you're then going to be on the Richard Sherman beat, I would think, in your pool reporting. that's going to be your focus, right? Every little Richard Sherman move?
Well, you know what? They're an interesting team because they've got a lot of guys who are interesting and who are very good interviews and who say a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So, and I think one of the things next week, because both of these teams have been there, you know, and the Patriots, not for the last 3 years, but both these teams have been there before, and so they're not going to be like all new stories or anything like that. So I think, though, that America, I'm not saying America is tired necessarily of Richard Sherman. I think a lot of people are, but I always try to find during Super Bowl week sort of the untold stories.
Sure.
So hopefully we'll find a few of those with Seattle.
And that's one of the things you're very, very good at. Okay, so let's switch over then to Airgate with these footballs. There's 12 footballs per team per game. Take the fans through this, because I'm getting deluged with why would the Patriots ever do this? And half the audience thinks they already did because they don't like the Patriots. The other half is like, why would they do this? They blew out the Colts. Talk about this Airgate thing.
Well, in the first place, I'm not sure there were only 12 because last year when I did a story on a week in the life of an officiating crew for the MMQB, our website, I remember I was with Gene Steratore's crew in Chicago. It was an inclement weather day at Soldier Field. And each team that day was given permission to have 24 balls for their offense. And I remember one of the officials on that crew said, yeah, if it's going to be a bad day, you know, if the weather forecast is really bad, teams usually prepare 24 footballs and not 12. And then you use 12 in the first half and 12 in the second half.
Mm.
So, you know, so I'm not sure that there wasn't 24 because from the jump last week, everybody knew that the forecast was bad for Sunday in Foxborough. So it might not just be 12 that people are worried about. It could be 24.
On the surface, what do you make out of this story?
A couple of things. So that interception that prompted a look at the ball,
mm-hmm.
okay, or the balls, that interception happened in the second quarter. So what that means is that maybe there was a singular ball that was not pumped up to the right level somehow, some way, which is hard to believe because all of them are pumped right before the start of the game and put in a large ball bag. So my feeling is that somehow if a ball was deflated, it had to have been deflated after it left the possession of the officials. But I'll also make one other point. If these officials, for the entire first half of the game, are basically handling the football after every play, these officials are used to what a correct football feels like.
Sure.
Because they're handling them before every play, every week, every game, every, you know, all year. So it's bizarre to me that no official ever said, hey, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this ball or there's something wrong with these balls. Why wouldn't they? If they've got their hands all over them, that strikes me as strange. So honestly, I think it might just be one ball. And again, none of us really know anything. But I know that the NFL will take this very, very seriously and get down to the bottom of it if at all possible. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was just one ball.
This isn't a non-story then, in your opinion.
I'm sorry, Brett.
This is not a non-story, in your opinion.
Oh no, I think it's definitely a story.
Okay,
you know, if
some people some people have suggested, Peter, that this is a non-story. This is Much Ado About Nothing. I think
it might be.
Yeah.
It might be. But don't you find that today in the NFL, any story becomes a giant story? It just does. It's like I was absolutely amazed when the Ray Rice video that we saw in September became a top three story on NBC Nightly News 3 nights in a row.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, what more do you say other than, obviously it is a big story, but 3 days in a row? And so to me, I think anything that happens in the NFL becomes a big story. And particularly when it happens to a marquee team, and if it involves, say, with the New England Patriots, something nefarious,
right?
Because everybody thinks that the Patriots lead the league in nefariousness. So, you know, that's why it really doesn't surprise me. But I think it's a story until it's proven that there's nothing to it. I think people should be interested in this because there's a chance. I'm not saying that it happened, but there's a chance that somebody tried to break the rules.
One last,
and if they did, they're going to be sanctioned severely, I think.
One last question on this, and to you, and that is, Are they going to handle this week? Are they going to let this go into next week? Are they going to handle this sometime in April or May where nobody cares?
I don't know. I was just told that they're going to investigate it thoroughly.
Okay.
And I don't know what that means. It's interesting. The NFL's been pretty tight-lipped about this. And all they'll say is that we're investigating this thoroughly. It's a competitive matter. So, again, I don't know when they're going to announce it. I would think it would be absolutely ridiculous to break it, whatever the story is, next week while the Patriots are at the Super Bowl. I think that would be, in my opinion, I think it would be pretty unfair just to the game itself. But again, I don't know what they're going to do. I wouldn't expect that it would be finalized during the Super Bowl next week.
The MMQB's editor-in-chief, Peter King, a couple other questions. We'll let you go. You've had time to digest what happened in Seattle with the Packers. What can you say to Packer Nation that thinks their coach was too conservative? Have you played that game through?
I think Mike McCarthy was too conservative. I wrote about some of his decisions. I mean, clearly, I just don't think unless you're playing the 85 Bears or the 2000 Ravens where you think that you're going to be lucky if you score 13 points. You know, I just don't think you ought to be playing on the first possession of the game with the ball at the half-yard line that you should be playing for a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got to take the risk of getting the ball in the end zone. So I think that's the one thing. And I think in the fourth quarter of this game that Mike McCarthy basically started playing to kill the clock too early. You've got the best quarterback in the NFL, even though he's got a bad calf. You're the best quarterback in the NFL. And it's almost like for the entire fourth quarter, all he's trying to do is bleed the clock.
Right.
And no matter how poorly Seattle had played to that point, I would have been more aggressive if I were Mike McCarthy because Aaron Rodgers... I just don't let Aaron Rodgers sit on the ball and be a handoff machine the way that he was, especially in the fourth quarter.
One last question, Cardinal-related. Mike Nolan's name has surfaced out here. You and I spoke about Dick LeBeau last week. Do you have any insight on the defensive coordinator spot for Bruce Arians?
Well, it just strikes me, Brad, that Bruce Arians is sort of looking for a kindred spirit. He's looking for a guy who he knows who has a long and proven track record as a defensive mind in the NFL. And I think his ideal world guy would be Dick LeBeau because he knows Dick, he really trusts Dick, and he believes that LeBeau could be a great mentor for a young defensive coordinator, particularly on a team where you've got so many veteran guys and so many trusted veteran guys who, if you brought in Dick LeBeau, those guys right away would say, okay, this guy has been to the promised land. This guy is in the Hall of Fame, and we are going to listen to him. And I think it'd be a great advantage if they could get LeBeau. And I think it'd be good if they could get Nolan, too, because Nolan has been around the block so many times.
Safe travels, Peter. We'll see you next week out here. Thank you for your time, as always.
Sounds great, Brad. All the best to you.
You too. Peter King, SI.com, NFL Insider, MMQB Editor-in-Chief. Brought to you by Ameriprise Financial. Ameriprise Financial, everyone has retirement questions. Ask Ameriprise Financial Advisor Jeremy Kitamura. Great to have Jeremy part of our team. About the new Confident Retirement Approach. Call Jeremy today to review all your wealth planning needs. Jeremy's office is in Scottsdale, Arizona, and he can be reached at 480-922-4216. 480-922-4216. Ameriprise Financial, Jeremy Kitamura, and Peter King's segment, a winning combination. All right, on the other side, I'm going to get back into some of the things that caught my eye from the Tiger stuff. Just keeps, even in the last 15 minutes, there's some new stuff there. Also, the field is out for next week for the Pro-Am. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good time. And some of the names that are out there, some that we'll make fun of, some that we'll want to follow. We'll have that next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
We're on your mobile phone and tablet at sports360az.com.
So next week we'll be doing the balancing act, Waste Management Open and Super Bowl, Super Bowl Waste Management Open. We're not going to just be all over one and not the other. That's the way it is here. And actually the Suns next week have like Derrick Rose is rolling into town. Blake Griffin's rolling into town. Suns have put together a really interesting run here where they've taken 13 of their last 16. But they'll be on the back burner. The Coyotes have been shipped out of town for like the next 8 games. It'd be fine with me if it were the next 20 games, the way that their season is gone. I'd be fine with that. The list of athletes and celebrities playing in the Phoenix Open. I'm big into the Phoenix Open. There's some people that say, you know, you should just sit and talk football for 2 straight hours every day because people care. Well, no, I'm here in the Valley, and people care about what's going on in the Valley. Thus, this is the big event that draws 500,000 people. They care. So next week at the Pro-Am, and it starts at 8:30 in the morning on Wednesday. So in this group in the Pro-Am is Bruce Arians. We follow Bruce Arians. Just we're curious to see if Bruce Arians has got any game. We like his little hat that he wears. Who wouldn't want to follow Bruce Arians, right, Eric?
For sure.
Country music star Dierks Bentley. Do I want to see Dierks Bentley hit a golf ball? Not necessarily. ESPN sportscaster Chris Berman, not interested in the least. Not going to follow. Diamondbacks pitcher Josh Colemanter, nice guy, tall guy. Don't know if tall, I'm 6'8". I kind of like to see tall guys whiplash one into somebody standing over at a tree who's not paying attention. So maybe I'll follow him.
Well, there's going to be a really tall guy out there this year that probably will be garnering quite a bit of attention next week.
Him, and I'll get to him in a minute. Dr. J. So I've seen Dr. J golf before. There is a segment of the population who's like, who is Dr. J? I don't know who Dr. J is. Those people are, I don't know, 35 and younger, maybe 40 years of age and younger. So they'll be like, who's the old dude that plays basketball? Without Dr. J, Dr. J leads to Michael Jordan, and Magic Johnson for that matter. So you have to watch Dr. J for a little bit, I would think. Larry Fitzgerald. So I've never seen Larry Fitzgerald golf. I've seen Larry Fitzgerald swing a baseball bat at a Diamondbacks game, and he should stick to catching footballs. He doesn't really have game when it comes to hitting baseballs. It is Fitz. So if Fitz gets in a bunker, is Fitz the type of guy that will sit there and go over and over and just sling sand out and make the course management guy grab his head? I don't know if he's any good or not.
He'll be one of the most well-dressed players out
there,
though.
He will be the well-dressed.
For sure, because that's just how Fitz rolls.
Ken Griffey Jr. Ken Griffey Jr. I'm seeing shoot on the sidelines at the Fiesta Bowl. I don't see Ken Griffey. He's following his son. Big name? Sure. With the Seahawks here now? Oh, my gosh. The amount of people that are going to be following Ken Griffey Jr. will be crazy. I'm not apt to want to follow him. Ron Jaworski, it's fine. Not going to follow him. Randy Johnson, yeah. I want to see how Randy at 16, I think will be terrific. I think he'll be one of these guys that encourages everybody to get loud and screw around. Randy Johnson, 15 years ago, his head would have exploded. Just, it'd be like a zit. Just, now, no, he's in a great space. I think seeing Randy at 16, I would like to walk the course and see how Randy does for a few holes. I will make a point of that. Jim McMahon. Jim McMahon is a very sad story. Jim McMahon is in the Pro-Am this year. Jim McMahon has been battling the concussion problem. Jim McMahon has done stories where he's said they have to write his street address and put it in his pocket when he leaves the house. That's sad. There's no jokes I'm going to make there. Urban Meyer. So when I saw Urban Meyer was in the Pro-Am, there's a segment of people that think Urban Meyer is the greatest coach outside of Nick Saban. There's also a segment that thinks that he is somewhat slimy and sleazy. Guess what? That's the perception of most college football coaches. I think he did a terrific job this year. I'm one of those that is a fan of his. I tend not to be on the cynic side of this. Do I care if he has game or not? I mean, am I going to follow Urban Meyer around?
You think it's any coincidence Urban Meyer just happens to be rolling into Phoenix like a week before LOI Day?
Well, here's the thing on that, Eric. He is elevating himself. Now, you're not suggesting there's anybody here in Phoenix he's trying to get.
You never know. Hi, I'm Urban Meyer. We just won a national championship, and we have the entire team coming back. And we play in Columbus, Ohio,
where football is king.
Last chance. You sure? You sure you want to go to USC or fill in the blank school?
ASU, U of A. No, okay, I'll give you that.
Because, you know, Urban Meyer's a workaholic, so it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, he's got his feelers out on guys like, hey, maybe we can come in late and swoop up one of these kids.
I don't think I'm going to follow him, though. I'm not all that wound up about him being in the field. Country music star Jake Owen. Fine, knock yourself out. Cardinal cornerback Patrick Peterson. I'm one of those that would like to see Patrick Peterson go play football and not show up at anything outside of football because he didn't have a great season. Thus, I don't dislike him. It's just you didn't have a great year. I don't want to see you hitting a golf ball. Ben Roethlisberger. Golf and Ben Roethlisberger have kind of an interesting history. I think I would like to see how a big guy like Ben Roethlisberger hits it, sure.
He'll be paired with Arians because he was out at Arians' celebrity golf tournament last spring. So those two are really close. So I'm guessing they'll get paired together.
There's two more. Emmett Smith, not an interest at all. Not a fan. Tim Tebow. So I would be curious to see how Tim Tebow does. I think Tim Tebow's been crushed into a million pieces by people behind microphones and somewhat unneedlessly. Yeah, he can't find a job in the NFL, but he was in the NFL. And a lot of us sit here behind a microphone and we just want to pound away on guys because we weren't there. You could even make the argument the Cardinals this last year would have done better with Tim Tebow than Ryan Lindley, the way the season ended up. There are fans that truly believe that. So, and I'm fine with where he is in this space in life. I actually think he does a pretty good job on the SEC network. Eric, are you down on that one? Are you off on him?
He did the Peach Bowl, and he was okay.
Yeah.
He was okay.
He wasn't bad.
Yeah, he's perfect for the SEC network. That's where he should be.
He's going to say the SEC is the greatest, and he'll get better. I don't think he's horrendous. So for the Open on Wednesday, because Tuesday is media day, and Eric's going to go to media day. Eric will be the one that gets to go in there and stand around and ask this guy, how big of a tree are you if you were a tree and all that stuff. All the nonsensical stuff. Eric will be the one that, I don't know if you'll ask it. You won't ask it.
I'm more interested in doing a slideshow because I want to see who is out there that has just no business covering the NFL. Because every year, that's what you get.
80% of it.
Yeah, that's what you get. You're going to get like the really, really good-looking female reporters from fill-in-the-blank, you know, cheesy news network that's going to be scrolling through there, and they're going to have to be reminded who's playing in the game.
Right. No, and they're going to say, your name is Richard Sherman, and they'll try to come up with a joke, and it'll be a joke that's just lame. That's part of the thing with Media Day. I remember the one in Tampa with the Cardinals where there was a conga group over in the corner. They were doing a conga line, right? People are trying to do interviews, and they're playing their conga music. It's as annoying as me beating on this table right now. It has nothing to do with the game, and you know, there were some personalities there. The amount of attention that will be focused, like you'll do a slideshow and you'll put a picture up of a guy that isn't going to talk and he'll get most of the attention. 24 will get most of the attention.
Or I'll pick a player that no one is asking a question to, like the most obscure player on the roster that's just sitting there twiddling his thumbs.
So of all these guys that are going to play in the Open, is there one that you look at and you say, I have to follow him?
Not really, but I going down the line as you did, I pretty much agree with most of the ones that, you know, we the local guys, we kind of know for the most part what you see is what you get.
Sure.
Randy Johnson's going to be intriguing because he's going to have a huge gallery this year, but Tim Tebow is someone that would be pretty interesting to follow. I'd like to see how he interacts on the course, too.
I think Bruce Arians will get the biggest cheers.
Probably.
I think he will.
Well deserved.
Yeah. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. I sent General Manager Tim Hovick over at Santan Ford an email about I want him to join me on Letter of Intent Day. ASU will have their signing day dinner. It's a pretty cool event. And sent Tim a note, absolutely, I'll be there, Brad, looking forward to it. So he's really involved on all facets of the sporting community, whether it's the Diamondbacks, the Cardinals, ASU. He's all over the place. He was telling me about how he was down at the Suns talking with Robert Sarver a while back and found Robert to be very charming and an interesting guy. And he doesn't just sit there and say, hey, come buy a car, and that's it. No, he's invested in all the sports possible, including us here at Sports 360 AZ. And we appreciate him for that. If you're looking for that car, you're looking for that truck, there's a lot of places you can go to. Certified pre-owned or new, a lot of vehicles that you can buy. Do what I did, partner with Santan Ford. And when I say partner, I mean take your vehicle in for service. John Bernath does a great job on that side. Big Bad Lloyd Kovalt will help you out to find that vehicle. Tim himself, the general manager, he gets it done at Santan Ford. Just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista, Santan Ford, where it is all about you. On the other side, a little bit more on Tiger, and this Robert Allenby story took another turn. It's like golfers have gone wild. We also have Talk to the Lopes coming up in about 15 minutes, as we do every Tuesday. I'm Brad Sussmat. Brad Sussmat with you Monday through Friday for a couple of hours. Of course, our site, sports360az.com, into year number 3. Thanks for being with us. Thanks to all of our partners. On the site, there is plenty of content. National Letter of Intent Day is a big deal to you college football fans. And we actually put a clock. Who wouldn't want a clock to count down to National Letter of Intent Day? Everybody likes clocks. So we have that over on our site. If you want to check that out, sports360az.com, plus plenty of content around National Letter of Intent Day for you college football fans. Not a bigger day. It is the Super Bowl of high school and college football wrapped into one. In terms of who's coming in, that is coming up 2 weeks from tomorrow. So we go from the Open and the Super Bowl right into Letter of Intent Day. It'll be a very, very busy couple of weeks. This segment of the show brought to you by Mareel Slater Insurance. And Mareel Slater Insurance, it's like this, guys. You felt as though, or you were told, that you had until December to figure out your insurance. That's not true. For your health insurance, up to February 15th, okay? Mareel Slater Insurance can help you out. I'm going to give you a website to go to in a couple of moments where you can log on, check out for yourself. You may be saying, I could be saving some money. Why have I not been doing this? Why have I not been doing business with Tom Mareel and John Slater? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. Those are the people that I use, okay, whether it's for myself or for this company. Mareel Slater Insurance. Here's the website, msinsurancellc.com. msinsurancellc.com. Tom and John and Lori Brodzinski, they will help you out with all your questions about your personal health insurance. For you, your family, you've got to make sure you have it all handled right. Okay, you can't mess around with this any longer. So log on, msinsurancellc.com. Mareel Slater Insurance, part of sports360az.com. That's Mareel Slater Insurance, msinsurancellc.com. The Tiger Woods tooth knocked out story is just part of what's going on in golf that has me looking forward to next week. There's three players. One of them has already committed to come here, and that's Tiger. I would certainly hope that a tooth getting knocked out, and whatever the reason is behind the tooth getting knocked out, tooth gate, I'm sure by now you've seen the picture. We talked a little bit earlier about how the organizer of the race that Lindsey Vonn was in said that they escorted Tiger from the tent to the snowmobile that they had waiting for him, and there was no incident of a camera knocking his tooth out. So this is going to pick up steam as today goes on, and tomorrow in the news cycle of things, unless something big happens, Tiger Woods' tooth is going to be one of the main stories. And when he comes here next week, it's going to cause a commotion. Eric alluded to it in the last segment. There is going to be segments of so-called media that have no business being around an NFL team, but they're going to be allowed in. It's, you know, They're charging admission for people to go watch this stuff. So it's fine. It's fine.
And there's a part of me, Brad, that thinks the NFL likes all the chaos that comes from Media Day. Because all it does is just build up and hype the Super Bowl, or sorry, the big game.
Right, right.
And it's, you know, those people, like you said, somehow get credentials. So if they're okay to be credentialed, then they're okay to go. And it happens year and year and year and year after year.
And there will be some of those people. The Open attracts some of those same sorts of sketch people. It just does. And I don't mean that in a demeaning sort of way. The Open encourages to have it be one big stinking party. But now you have a couple other golfers that I want to talk about in this. Dustin Johnson, they have until Friday to decide if they're going to play in the tournament or not. Dustin Johnson, to this point, has not said if he's going to be in or out of this year's tournament. Last year, he was suspended by the tour for failing a third test for drugs. He failed three drug tests last year. His fiancée is Paulina Gretzky, Wayne's daughter, and she gave birth to their son. It says in the stories I've been reading about him that he has Tory on his list. He doesn't have here. I would advise him you don't need to come to Phoenix, because if you've been having problems off the course staying clean, Scottsdale is going to be just ripe for you to take a step back. So there's one guy, and we'll find out this week who the full field is. So we have Tiger with the tooth. We've got Dustin Johnson's story. And then we have Robert Allenby. Robert Allenby has until Friday to commit. And those of you that have been watching over the last couple of days, whether it's SportsCenter or any sporting channel, have seen the Robert Allenby story that he said he was kidnapped and robbed at a wine bar in Waikiki. Problem with that is his story doesn't add up to the authorities. Because of that, I would think he needs to just not come here either. His story gets stranger and stranger. Here's what he said. The Australian golfer claimed he was abducted from a Waikiki wine bar this last Friday. He was lured out to a parking lot by a stranger who said his friends were waiting for him. Allenby later said he believes he was targeted by people jealous of his fame. He says he was beaten, thrown into the trunk of a car. He doesn't remember a thing of the next 3 hours. He says the next thing he remembers, he was being thrown from the car's trunk into a gutter 6 miles from the Amuse wine bar. There, he says, he was discovered by a homeless woman who told him she saw several men kicking him, chasing him, going through his pockets. But he doesn't remember all this. That's not what happened at all, though, said the woman. Shardae Keene has given interviews with media outlets in Hawaii and Australia. She told the Honolulu Star Advertiser she found Allenby not 6 miles away from the wine bar, as he claimed, but just a few yards down the block from it. And she says he wasn't dumped from a car, but just sitting on a planter, bloodied and confused, arguing with two homeless men. On the Australian interview, the lady said she recognized the two men and that they claimed Allenby had hit his head on a rock. Whereas she first thought the men were helping Allenby, she quickly changed his mind. According to this lady, Allenby asked her to help get back his phone and wallet, which he believed the men had. Hey, homeless lady, can you get my phone and my wallet back from these two dudes?
Yeah, clearly someone is not telling the truth here. These stories are so bizarre and so different, that has to be the case.
And the woman also suggested he would withdraw $500 using his one remaining credit card in exchange for his belongings. I'll give you back my wallet with my cards, and I'll use the one card that may work, I guess, and I'll give you $500. The men told me they didn't have his phone, but to tell Allenby that they did have it and would give it back to him if he gave them the money. So they tell the homeless lady, these two guys, we don't have it, but tell him we do, and then he'll give us the money anyways. Of course. She returns with the news and told him they needed to leave. They were following us, and that felt spooky. I don't know, if a guy's head is cracked open and he's offering money, that's spooky enough. So Allenby was sitting at dinner, and he said to the people at dinner, including his friend and his caddy, I have to go to the restroom. So he gets up and goes. Then he gets lured to the parking lot. Then he thinks he's 6 miles and he's really down the street. So I don't know. Do you think the friend and the caddy are sitting there breaking bread saying, hey, where's Robert? I don't know. Nobody said anything about that. And Allenby said the FBI is investigating. The FBI said, we're not checking into this at all. So I don't know. It's golfers gone wild in my book. Got a missing tooth. No, it didn't happen. You got Robert Allenby, Dustin Johnson. Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. Next week, Waste Management Open, Super Bowl. The tidal wave is coming. Off we go into hour number two. Busy, busy Tuesday on Sports360AZ.com. We also partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. We'll have Talk to the Lopes here in a couple of moments with pitcher George Perez. They open their season coming up next week, or actually in 2 weeks. Andy Stankiewicz's squad, so we'll talk with George here in a couple of minutes. Talk to the Lopes we do every Tuesday. Some of the things on my mind in the world of sports now brought to you by Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, where it is just plain easy. So the NFL, we had Peter King on earlier from MMQB, and if you just join us, you'll hear that segment again here in a little bit. Big story of the day is the NFL going to investigate what's going on with these footballs that were underinflated, or is it just a football? Here's Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick on what the NFL is asking them to do. Will they follow through?
I didn't know anything about it until this morning. You know, we'll cooperate fully with whatever whatever the league wants us to, whatever questions they ask us, whatever they want us to do.
Here is Tom Brady on the deflated football controversy.
Would you care to weigh in on that?
I think I heard it all at this point. So. Oh, God.
There's Tom Brady. So, yeah, if it's something in the NFL and there's some sort of controversy, they're going to check it out. The segment brought to you by Gateway Airport. Gateway, where you can fly out of Gateway Airport on Allegiant Air to Las Vegas, up to the Bay, or you get up to Vegas. I found flights. I was staying $50 last week. I found a couple flights for $40 out of Gateway direct to Vegas in early March. Like, I'm turning 50 this year. I found one on my birthday for like $40. I'm telling my wife, why not go? Hey, let's do this.
There's some good basketball up in Vegas around early March.
We're going to be there. Gateway will take you to nearly 40 different locations, and it's just plain easy. Gateway Airport in the Southeast Valley on Allegiant Air. You need to save money. You need to save bucks. Fly on Gateway Airport. Some of the other things on my mind. Suns beat the Lakers last night. They've won 8 straight at home over the Lakers. Very tough schedule moving forward. Dragic had 24. Isaiah Thomas with 24. Cardinals reportedly interested in Mike Nolan for the defensive coordinator job. Tiger Woods' tooth knocked out by a cameraman in Italy, though the race organizer said, no, his tooth was not knocked out by a camera. There's something behind this story. Of course there is. Pro-Am is out for the Waste Management Open next week. Some of the big names include Larry Fitzgerald, Ken Griffey Jr., Randy Johnson, Ben Roethlisberger, Tim Tebow, Patrick Peterson, Bruce Arians, country music star Dirk Bentley. They will all be out at the Waste Management Open. That's some of what is on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by Gateway Airport. It's time for Talk to the Lopes. Every week we talk about Grand Canyon University for a couple of minutes, things going on campus. And, of course, while the basketball team is having a great, great season, the baseball team with Andy Stankiewicz, our guy Stanky, is getting ready to open up on February 13th against North Dakota State. Senior pitcher George Perez joins us for a couple of minutes. I'm looking at your Twitter feed here, @hip_hip35. You got anything behind that?
Right.
You got anything behind that, George?
It's just because, I mean, it all started my freshman year. Every time I struck somebody out, they'd yell out, hip, hip, or hey, hip, hip, or hey. So it just kind of stuck. And, I mean, here I am, senior year, and it's still there. So that's my Twitter handle.
It's pretty good. You've got some followers. You're having some fun with the social media thing. How has your GCU experience been for you now that you've gone through it?
It's safe to say that, I absolutely love it. Coming out of high school, I didn't know where I was going to go until I came out for a workout here at GCU. And I signed that very same day that I came for my workout. And ever since then, everyone's been so kind to me. I love the coaches here. I love Stanky, Coach Joe, our pitching coach. And just the whole atmosphere on campus, I mean, it's welcoming and you feel comfortable.
When you signed there, you had no idea, because you went to high school locally, right?
Correct, in West Valley in Avondale.
Yeah.
La Jolla Community High School.
Yeah, you went to La Jolla. So you had no idea that that program, you were right on the front end of all the growth on campus and everything blowing up, right?
Right, correct.
So did you have any clue that when you'd be leaving there that the facility would look like it does now?
No, not a chance. I mean, ever since I got here, I mean, this campus has blown up. I mean, we've added like 5 new dorms and 2 parking structures, and I didn't have that my freshman year. So, I mean, it's good to see that the school is growing and more students are wanting to come here.
How about from a baseball facility standpoint when you first got there?
I mean, it's grown tremendously. I mean, we just added a new batting cage. They remodeled it all, and I'm sure there's more to come. But I mean, it's been a blessing just to be a part of it and being able to be a part of Loves Baseball.
And when you came there, you didn't play the schedule that you're playing now. I mean, here you are your senior year, and you've got Tennessee and Oak State. I mean, you got some squads that are rolling through or that you're going to go play now. I mean, that has to be exciting from when you first got there to now.
Oh, yeah, it's very exciting. Obviously, I mean, Stanky didn't set up that schedule on accident. He scheduled it just to prove a point that if we want to be good, we want to be the best, we got to beat those powerhouses. And we just got to come out fighting. And if we play as a team, we can make some noise and show some people out there that GCU baseball is for real.
I talked to the Lopes, GCU senior pitcher George Perez with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes. They have their season opener here in a couple of weeks and then open up WAC play. How is baseball? And I have a daughter who's a senior at GCU, so I kind of get the story, but, you know, she's in that space where I'm like, Dad, just stay away. I'm just wondering, how is baseball embraced on campus? Is it like basketball? Is it an event? I mean, how is it perceived on campus?
It's somewhat like basketball. I mean, I feel like basketball has more of the hype around campus. I mean, given that we've got Dan Marley as a head coach and we had that new arena added to campus. But, I mean, I feel like it's the same. I mean, I personally think that we're up there with the top teams on campus, if not probably one of the best. I mean, we come out and play hard every single day, and we try to make it fun for the fans that come out. I mean, we have great guys on the team, and hopefully we have a couple guys that get drafted this year. And so, yeah, I mean, I feel like it's fun and exciting, and we'll see how the stands fill up this year.
How about you? I mean, are you, this is your senior year. What's going to happen with you after this year?
Well, I'm hoping to continue my baseball career.
Mm-hmm.
Coming off of my last year, it was unfortunate to get hurt at that time, like 2 months before the MLB draft, and so it kind of hurt me a little bit, and so I dropped down in the rounds, and I ended up going 30th round by the New York Yankees, but I turned it down because I wanted to get my education. You know, I would be the first in my family to graduate from a 4-year university, so I wanted to get that taken care of first and then see where my baseball career takes me after that. So just want to stay healthy and go back in the draft this year and prove them wrong that, I mean, I know that I'm better than 30th round. So
where do you think you should be? I mean, you probably say first round, first pick overall, but where do you think you should be?
I say top 10 rounds for sure. I mean, I feel like when I went against Andrew Morales, he went in the second round last year, a pitcher at UC Irvine. We went toe-to-toe, and I went all 9, he went all 9, and so it was a great game. But I know I can keep up with all those guys, and I know my ability, and I know that I can hang with all the top pitchers in the country. And I mean, I was ranked the number two senior in the country Perfect Game. Sorry. And so I mean, it's just all the hard work that I put in, and I know that it doesn't stop here. I got to keep going and keep grinding and trying to be one of the best.
Well, you certainly have the schedule to do it, where people are going to see you. A couple games with UNLV. You got Cal Poly for 3. I mean, I just go up and down and say, wow, it's really, really tough deal.
Right.
on the side of the education where you said you wanted to go back to school, what are you majoring in?
Sports management.
And what do you want to do with it?
I actually want to coach. I want to come back and actually be a pitching coach here at Grand Canyon, but maybe after a couple of years in playing professional.
Sure.
coaching is one of my things, and I want to be a pitching coach one day. Everything that I've learned, I want to help pitchers evolve, be good pitchers, and it's not just about trying to throw hard. It's about the whole philosophy behind it, and getting guys out and understanding that you have eight guys behind you, and it's 9-on-1, and you don't have to be a hero all the time. But I mean, just love pitching overall and teaching it.
You can do this broadcast thing. You're pretty good at this, so.
Thank you.
You got it. Hey, thanks for coming on for a couple of minutes.
Thank you very much, Brad.
You got it. Talk to the Lopes. George Perez there, GCU senior pitcher. Talk to the Lopes, Grand Canyon University. Man, their schedule, holy cow. You just go up and down. Oklahoma State for three. They go from Tennessee to Oklahoma State to UNLV. In the college baseball world, that's like playing the heavyweights every week. That's impressive.